we will get started, and I hope Jonathan would join shortly. But anyway, we had on our agenda some stock taking on where we are on the two work tracks, and where the, is this from the consultation group charter, and we also need to agree on when are we going to reconvene our conference calls again. So we can start with the easy one. When do we want to reconvene? So Avery, you mentioned the Plenipot. When does this end exactly?
It ends November 7.
November 7.
I mean, don't wait, obviously. I just won't be there.
So, Marika.
This is Marika. It's just to know that I think, you know, Marrakesh still feels like it's very far away, but it's actually pretty near. And I think the publication deadline for the meeting is already somewhere in January. So if there's anything we want to put out, you know, for broader input or consultation. So I know there's a lot of going on, or, you know, maybe otherwise we can make a commitment to do certain things on the mailing list. But I know we had the same issue over summer, where I think, you know, we didn't meet for quite some time, and it meant as well that we didn't make that much progress, or at least not as much, I think, as we had hoped to. So I'm just wondering if, I know, of course, if it applies to everyone and no one can make it, you know, there's no reason to schedule a meeting. But if it's, you know, maybe only Avery, and I know Avery's very good at looking at the mailing list and providing input and writing as well. So I don't know. So again, I don't know if it's a general concern, or where a lot of people are going to be absent, or whether it affects only, you know, one or two people, which means we can maybe start moving forward and just put a lot of things out on the mailing list for people to put input, provide input on as well.
Avril?
Yeah, if I'm the only one that's going off there, I just, then of course you should have the meetings. I was thinking that more of you might be going to that insanity. In terms of, though, moving forward, now that, you know, we've sort of taken that first step, how much do we want to get done on the second phase before, I think, is the thing to be determined. What is there that we really hope to get done before Marrakesh? That sort of determines. And I don't know that answer.
Marika, yes?
Well, this is Marika, if I can express my opinion on that. I think, you know, some of the things I think we need to sort out, but I think, you know, again, Mason may play a big role in that as well, on how or what kind of information we should be providing to the GAC. I mean, you're following the outcome of the survey, and also the early engagement aspect. Is there indeed something that we can move forward on ensuring, you know, that early participation of the GAC or input? And, you know, we spoke about the triage option. We also spoke about the, you know, the quick look mechanism on a preliminary issue report. So it may be worth working out some of those proposals in further detail, and then see if there's, you know, one or two of those that we can actually maybe start piloting, or at least trying out, because I think that's probably the only way in which we can find out whether something works or not, you know, whether does it meet the needs of the GAC as well, of the GNSO, and based on that experience, make more final recommendations. And again, you know, some of those may have an impact on some of the timing, or even, you know, how GNSO PDP manual, for example, the requirements there. So that would be at least my assessment at this stage.
UK and then Olaf.
Yes, thank you, Manal. I really think we need to keep the momentum going. And, you know, from this meeting, from the discussion today in the GAC. And my suggestion is that we do actually have a go at defining some options on modalities for engaging, as Monica just described, really. We actually capture that in a set of options, which we then put to the GAC way before Marrakesh. And then perhaps at Marrakesh we can actually initiate a pilot, one or two, after having had some responses from the GAC. But there may be reluctance to agree anything before a face-to-face meeting of the GAC, but I think we, you know, we try to move forward now based on the discussion today with defining options. That's my suggestion. Thank you.
Yes, Olaf.
Thank you. And in the same vein, I would say that, in a way, we got two tracks, but now in practice we got a third because we got Mason on board, and we should use the sort of this pilot period to try out things. And it's almost like, okay, let's see what. And I think that Mason can come up with some interesting suggestions. And it's also a matter of how can we support you in that role. And to that end, I would like to introduce Karine. Where are you, Karine?
Here.
Yeah, you're there, yeah. Karine Perset, who has recently, as of yesterday, joined the ICANN support team for the GAC, and has an eminent experience from supporting the board of ICANN, as well as 10 years with the OECD. So I think I would see that this could be a very, very, very useful addition in our work around this development, and in particular to see what kind of trial attempts we can make in conjunction and to support Mason in his role as Gina's sole liaison to the GAC.
Thank you, Olaf. So, first, regarding the conference calls before we leave this, maybe we can do the normal poll that we do, giving people a preference of maybe two Tuesdays. And excuse my ignorance on this. The plenipot, when exactly does it start? Is it overlapping with the ICANN meetings? Or
no, it starts next week and then goes for 3 weeks, so... Yeah, I'm skipping the first week. I have a family member having surgery, so I get to skip the first week.
So maybe we can do a poll on Tuesday 28th and Tuesday 4th. We can leave the first Tuesday, which is immediately after the GAC meetings, and then try to see how much attendance we can get on the following two Tuesdays. Would this make sense? Because I'm also mindful that we don't have everyone here, so we cannot really conclude. So, Marika?
Yes, so this is Marika. So we can get out a doodle poll for those two Tuesdays, and we can see if indeed one of those can be the starting point, and then I guess we would normally go back to our usual cycle of meeting every 2 weeks, and maybe in the interim I can work with Olaf and Karine as well, and as we discuss, maybe looking back at the charter to see as well what our concrete deliverables were from the charter, and maybe already, you know, prepare a kind of draft work plan between here and Marrakesh to see if we can outline maybe some of the themes that, at least from our perspective, think are still outstanding, and that could maybe serve as a starting point for discussions during the first meeting.
So let's go with the poll, but again, I think we need to consult with Jonathan before proposing the dates finally on the mailing list, just to make sure that he's convenient with both Tuesdays. Regarding the deliverables, I tried to check now the charter, and it states two deliverables. The first is a documented process, between brackets, table, flowchart, etc., for ongoing smooth and timely information exchange between the GAC and the GNSO organizations. Again, between brackets, GNSO liaison to the GAC, permanent liaison, consultative group, etc. And the second deliverable is an agreed documented process, table, flowchart, etc., for ongoing smooth early engagement of GAC in GNSO PDP projects, along with an agreed documented process to be followed where GAC early input is in conflict with a GNSO proposal and a mutual agreement could not be reached. So I think we're pretty on track, but we did not discuss what if the GAC input is in conflict with GNSO views, and how are we going to have like a consultation period, and then how are we going to conclude this. This we did not discuss. But at least we're within the two tracks that we have already identified, so this is, I think it's a good sign. So and now as we also have the GNSO liaison, I think we would keep this again into the loop of feeding back into the process, and where does this whether it needs some fine tuning or whatever. I believe the target is that by Marrakesh we have, like Marika and Olof and Mark said, some detailed proposal that if we can share early on with the GAC on the mailing list, it's good they have a look into it early so that we can really target some conclusion by the face-to-face meeting. It's hard to conclude online. But again, it would be hard to conclude during the face-to-face meeting if they see the proposals for the first time during the meeting. So if we can plan something that can be circulated early enough before the Marrakesh. And Marika, like you said, we don't have really much time. We have the Christmas vacations, and so it's not that far away. And I think we've already touched on what we're working on right now in terms of the joint meetings, the interaction between the chairs. So we just have to document this in a written proposal and then get this shared with the GNSO as well as the GAC. And I think with Suzanne's comments in mind, again, I think ultimately we will be handing this mechanism over to some joint working group or whatever that would get into substance then. So, so do we have any comments? Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. More question in relation to the documents and information produced, but I don't know, if, for example, if that's something that Mason is planning to take up in conversations with the GAC, because I think we still have indeed the question of you know, what is it that would be, you know, most appropriate for the GAC, or what is the kind of format that you would like to receive information on. And I said, you know, maybe now with Mason there, it will become more clear, or I don't know if that's something we need to further explore, discuss, or experiment with things. And I don't know, Mason, if you have any specific ideas on whether there's anything we can do from a staff side at this stage, or it's more, you know, following your conversations or experience, you may be able to provide us with some guidance on you know, what works and what doesn't.
This is Mason. No, I don't have a suggestion at this point. I think the first thing I'd like to know from the group or from the broader GAC is, at this stage, they're being deluged with information. What is the hi, Jonathan? What is the preference on the part of the GAC for receiving information? I mean, I'm happy to take the existing structure of information as it's flowing from the community into the GAC and help refine that. But it's a matter of how the GAC prefers, I think, to receive its information.
It's all of here, and I think that's a very worthwhile trial to start looking at what are the options of it. Because what it's all about is sort of streamlining and prioritizing. And prioritizing may be a little bit difficult. But streamlining, in some sense, what the various flows are, and to think about options that how we can pursue that, and I certainly, it's like squaring a circle All right, then you've got a number, it's P. But in this case, well, the creative use of the mailing list in the meantime and coming up with what could the options be of making what is already very, very succinct information on well, the one-pagers and so on, and the various other inputs that are coming from the GNSO, how can they be, well, both condensed and highlighted in a way that makes sense to the GACers? And I think typically one of the areas where, the whole consultation group, and in particular we who are working on the staff side from the GAC side, could serve as useful partners in initial discussions. So I would suggest that we try to exchange some views on that on a mailing list, already before we meet the next time. Or rather have the next conference call.
UK? Mark, sorry.
Yes, thank you. I mean, just a general reminder, really, that most government reps on the GAC are not able to tap into flows of information from the GNSO or other parts of ICANN. We just don't do it. I mean, that we're just not able to secure the time to do it. Most of us do not do only ICANN. We do many, many other things within our portfolios of responsibilities. And the desirable solution is a single track of information, managed by you, Mason, I think, ideally, which will, as Olof was saying, in a concise and precise way, provide the signals, what is happening in the GNSO in terms of policy issues and potentially where the GAC needs to intersect with that, and also how the GAC can help the GNSO. It's pretty much a two-way thing, which is what I was trying to say earlier on. Most GAC reps will only read stuff from the GAC secretariat. I'm sure that's how they work, because that's realistically the only way in which we can operate. It's just because of the loadings of civil servants, especially in these times of austerity and cutbacks and so on. It's a fact of life. So anything you can do to help streamline the flow of information on which we can react is going to be a tremendous boost to this whole project, the whole ICANN project, in fact. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Hi. Sorry, it's Jonathan speaking. Sorry I'm late. I got nobbled as I came out of promptly at 6:30 out of the previous meeting I was in and grabbed into another one. So I was acutely aware of this going on, but it's great. I mean, it's relatively high participation. I'm pleasantly surprised. Suzanne did say to me earlier that she was going to be unable to make it. I don't know if she conveyed that to any of you. Mark, I take your point. I think that's well understood, at least elements of it. One of the things that struck me is that what we haven't talked about and we will need to figure out is the interrelationship between the liaison and the GAC, and the secretariat, because that seems to me to be a key pivot point to make sure that works effectively. I do think I'm not sure we're trying to solve the problems of the working group now. I don't know quite where we are on the agenda, but certainly that's one of the sort of bigger issues that struck me is how we make sure the the GAC make best use of your secretariat, and especially if as you say, there's likely to be a sit up and listen or read things coming through the secretariat. But certainly, it's becoming clear from the survey and all of our discussions that the sort of pumping out of information and what feels like a deluge. We all suffer from it to some extent, but nevertheless, it's recognized that that's what the GAC's saying and that's what we need to work with. I think that's clear that that's where we've got to find some sort of change. But I suppose my one other but is we also need to get a mechanism by which the GAC perhaps delegates some receiving function there over and above or in addition to the secretariat. And that's this triage working group type mechanism. Because even if it all comes in through the secretariat, all the secretariat's going to do is say, boom, out to the whole GAC, and it just needs something. And I think where you're getting some resistance from a GNSO perspective is we can perhaps assist, but we certainly can't determine when and if something has implications from a GAC point of view. We might even be able to say, look, we have an idea, it's here, or it feels like we've got to present you the information in a structured, organized, and filtered way. And one of those filters might be, we think this is a public policy implication, but I think we've got to be very, very careful about pushing that back onto the GNSO, because that's not our business. You know, that's not where we're experts.
Just very briefly before handing to Olaf, I have to note also, Anna's apology, I overlooked this at the beginning of the meeting, but Anna also has apologized, and I promised her to note her apology here. And I would like to stress what Jonathan said regarding the liaison secretariat relationship, specifically that the GNSO liaison is not on the GAC mailing list. So unless there is some channel to relate the GNSO liaison to the GAC work, I think he would be isolated from what the GAC is discussing. So, Olaf.
Yeah, thank you, Olaf. For the record, and just continue along the thought pattern now from Jonathan. It's certainly so that, well, that's the first step would be sort of finding a way of streamlining, and the second, and much more difficult, or well, at least potentially sensitive aspect is to do the prioritization and the highlighting of the public policy aspects. Because, yeah, fully understand that, all right, the GNSO can come up with, well, we think this may have public policy implications, or we're pretty sure about it. And, well, the secretariat or ICANN staff can be working with the GAC, and we can come up with, all right, we believe this would be some kind of priority, but that's exactly what we can use a trial period for, to say that, all right, is this correct? We can try to do that. Of course, it's really something which has much higher importance and really call for GAC members' involvement to make that kind of final judgment. But, well, maybe we could start trying some various ways of, well, putting it forward and see if it makes sense or if it's absolutely useless to the GAC. So that's just a thought, but I just want to make use of the situation where we have a trial period and to make the best use of that situation as possible.
I've been an observer of GAC for some time, and now I'm a new observer of the council. I think that this idea of a trial period is okay. I think discussing issues, if it's public policy relevant or not, cannot be done under the responsibility of the GNSO Council, but maybe it can be tried with a small working group. I certainly think that is the GAC's responsibility to decide if there is public interest or not. And this is a responsibility that cannot be shifted to anybody. So when we started discussing this, I thought it was a great opportunity that the GAC becomes aware of the early stages of the policy development process, they could easily do a cross-check of public interest, period, and take a decision if they follow it or not. Having said that, it seems to be that the policy development processes are not independent of each other, and there are ones that belong to a previous one, etc. So it would be very useful that new participants in the GAC understand that these processes have been there for a long time, and they are related to each other, and they learn to choose the right moment to peep in and check if there was a chance. So if you develop this idea of the trial period and put it into a working group and recognize that it's the responsibility of government to check for public interest, I think it could be developed, but putting the responsibility on a few people to throw an idea into the lion's place of the GAC, I think it's dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. I think we have Jonathan, then Avery.
Mine's a little bit of a sort of administrative point. I mean, I'm conscious it's 20 past seven. We've all had a long day, and I'm not sure because I came in late, for which I apologize again. I'm not 100% sure where we're on the agenda. One practical point I would like to have either dealt with here or soon, we need to think about participation in this group and make sure I think here it is an opportunity at this meeting to go back to the GAC perhaps and look for one or two more members to come in to backfill for those that have gone, and maybe to look on the GNSO side as well. I mean, I've spoken to Volker, for example. He's a participant nominally because he's a vice chair, but frankly, he isn't participating, and we know why. He's got a legitimate reason because our meeting time clashes. So we've either got to adjust our meeting time or replace him as a participant. So certainly that's that. So I mean, I guess my suggestion is that we get the last contributions and then just try and wrap this up with a couple of practical points around the agenda, given the time.
Avery?
My contribution is one of confusion, and I'm sitting here not really knowing what we can do, because if people aren't going to read the documents, can't read the documents, because unlike everyone else, it's not outside work, it has to be done inside work. I don't understand how we solve the problem. Because how do you have a view on public policy aspects of policy recommendations if you don't actually read the stuff? So I'm really confused as to how. You know, and perhaps it's obviously no longer something we could solve. But as I've been sitting here listening to this ever since Mark spoke and we've been going, it's just sort of, I don't envy you. Because it seems impossible.
So I think it's a matter of streamlining things, but ultimately people would have to read everything, but again, prioritizing and streamlining the stuff, and hopefully at the end GAC members would read everything. So go ahead, please, and if you can introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is this turned on? Okay. Anne Aikman-Scalise with Lewis Roca Rothgerber, and I'm IPC member, delegate to the SCI Standing Committee on Improvement Implementation, and I also work on the Policy and Implementation Working Group. And I think a tool that comes from the corporate world would be extremely helpful here, and that is something called the executive summary. And I know that ICANN does this as well. And, first I wanted to say the work that you guys are doing, and I did hear the presentation at the GAC, is really, really important. It's an absolute linchpin on the effectiveness of the organization going forward and how we're viewed by the rest of the world, including the UN and ITU, and the effectiveness, the organizational effectiveness absolutely depends on the work you are doing. And despite, the poor attendance at this meeting that happens to be at the end of the day, I think it's really wonderful work. It's going to make a huge difference in how ICANN operates, but the executive summary of GNSO work that could come from Mason, you know, everybody who works in an environment of managing a lot of people, managing a lot of information overload, relies on the, okay, boil that down to, you know, a paragraph. And then if there's a method where the executive summary of the issues raised at each GNSO council meeting can be distributed to GAC members and say, you know, we ask that you read this executive summary. It's one or two pages long. This is the monthly meeting executive summary of issues discussed and actions taken. Then you have a much better chance of issue spotting so that there's public policy issue awareness. And then the second thing I would have to say is that I think it's incumbent on GNSO Council members themselves to increase their sensitivity to public policy issues and GAC issues in the sense that, for example, there was a board meeting, a GSO meeting, and a discussion about what we used to call WHOIS is now called Registry Directory Services, and there was a lengthy discussion about the huge, you know, privacy implications and about the conflicting national laws with respect to privacy. And very frankly, the GAC wasn't mentioned. It should be, in my mind. And points like the point that Suzanne made about government issues around people needing to know who they're doing business with and how you balance those interests, because admittedly, it's not one side or the other. It's a balancing act. But GNSO Council needs to be more aware of when they need to, in their sessions, raise issues. And it could be helpful, you know, people like Carlos being on GNSO Council, raise those issues and say, hey, shouldn't we be talking to the GAC about this? And keep that in mind when having GNSO Council meetings. Thank you. But you guys, this is so critical. And I congratulate you on your work so far.
David? Yeah, I mean, I sort of thought what we were talking about is trying to, you know, see if we can funnel some sort of executive summary through, but I don't, there are a huge number of issues raised by that in terms of, the GNSO making its judgment about what issues the GAC will be interested in, quite possibly incorrectly, and so on. So I think, I mean, that's sort of what we want to do, but it is difficult. And it's also very, sometimes very, I mean, there's certainly the GNSO discusses some things that are not of interest to the GAC. I mean, certainly occasionally the GNSO discusses things that are not of much interest to even most of its members. But almost any issue can be seen to have some public policy aspect if, you know, it's very, very hard to tell. I mean, for example, any security issue could easily be seen as having a public policy aspect. That may not necessarily mean that it's something the GAC want to hear about, because it, you know, they may quite happily feel the public policy aspects of that are adequately addressed by other things. So it is a very difficult. It's almost impossible, I think, for the to really judge what. Except you can get an intuition for it, but you can never be sure. So I think all we can really do is provide some tools to help the GAC navigate and sort of have a disclaimer about, well, we've tried, but there may always be, you know, really, if you want to be sure, you have to go and back look at this deluge of information. There's not really any way around it. I think we can only provide a useful tool with the disclaimer that it may, that it's not, it will never be perfect. I think is all we can try. And as the process of how we provide those summaries, I think, is worth further discussion. But it would be a worthwhile thing for all of us, really, to have some things. But, I mean, I certainly find the briefings that staff prepare for the GNSO very useful. I just don't expect the GAC to read them.
Yeah, let me just say, though, that, for example, all the GNSO constituencies and stakeholder groups, their representatives provide executive summaries for the members of those groups. And admittedly, they may have a bent that is toward the interests of that particular group. But without using executive summary as a tool, you have no chance of actually... information overload for these GAC members is, you know, it's enormous. Without using some kind of abstracting or shorter tool, you have no chance of active, coordination or consultation or because nobody's going to go and read unless they see something that triggers an interest. Where now that I need to go and read all the background on, or this we really should be, you know, briefed in depth and undertake this in a, well, what Suzanne called a working group, although that's a confusing term. I guess I would urge the GAC to pick a different term, because working group is a particular term that's used within GNSO, as far as I know, you know, WG. But without a shorter summary of what's going on in GNSO Council, I don't see how it's practical for, you know, the consultation to work.
So we have Marika, and I think then we have to wrap up, as Jonathan said. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just for the record, we do provide one-pagers to the GAC on every PDP that are updated on a monthly basis, that really try to do that, indeed, provide an executor summary, highlight when the next opportunity for GAC input is, and have a, you know, concrete timeline there. So I just want to make sure that that's on the record, that we already do provide that to the GAC for the information. And I believe it's even translated in the six UN languages, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. I'm sure that's true, Marika. Staff, you guys do such a fantastic job. That's very different from the new role that Mason has and what happens at each, you know, GNSO Council meeting. And there's a different level of, probably even of attention that's going to be paid to that, because now you've launched something. GNSO has launched something in relation to Mason's role, and that's different from the staff role.
So I think if we don't have further requests, then we can wrap up. Jonathan, we were suggesting to have our next conference call polled within Tuesday. We're going to skip the Tuesday immediately after the ICANN meetings and have a poll. I'm sorry. On Tuesday, I think, 28th.
Yeah, 28th.
28th and 4th. Just to poll members and to see where we can get better attendance to get started. We were trying to avoid the plenipot, but then it turned to be like, we're going to push things like 1 month, so it was suggested that we keep the momentum. So unless you have any concerns with the proposed dates, Marika, help please.
Thanks, Manal. I think even if I do, I think we should just get on with it. I mean, I think we need a rolling two-weekly schedule that we get on with, and we'll get some momentum going again. Certainly, we need to think a little bit about getting more refreshing the participation in the group. That's key. And then I think the other thing I would really appreciate help from the GAC colleagues about is getting plugged into the new GAC leadership, so we can start that and make sure that that element works as well. And if we can get those bits working, I think we're in good shape to make some productive progress. So, yeah.
Yes, very quickly, the other two things, getting new members and trying to get some of the vice chairs, for example, here into our joint coordination group. Again, as mentioned, we're in transitional stage. We're having our elections Tuesday and Wednesday, so maybe after this we can try to see how we can inject executive leadership from the GAC side into this working group. And finally, on our work plan, we have also looked very quickly into the charter. The two deliverables we're committed to are pretty much within the work that we're currently going, so we can have this on our next conference call. The only thing that we did not discuss here is when the GAC provide input to the GNSO that is in conflict with the GNSO, how we can process this. Are we going to go through a consultation period, and then how I mean, how we can conclude the situation. So this is the only missing thing, and I think we can take this into the agenda of our next conference call. So, Jonathan, if you want, okay. Okay, then thank you, and thank you for staying that late. Thank you all.
Thank you.